This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Wolves Fancast. We are here for a review of the first home game of the season back at Molineux for the 22-23 campaign, as Wolves secured their first point of the new season as well with a 0-0 draw against Fulham. I've got Tom and Jafoe with me. Gentlemen, it was good to be back at Molineux, I'm sure. I don't know who decided that the flamethrowers were necessary, to be honest, because it was a bit of a scorcher. What did you make of just the conditions to actually watch a game of football in? It's a bit of a new one for us at Molineux, isn't it?
Yeah, it was rather uncomfortable. It's something we're not used to here. The flamethrowers, especially for us, like where me and you sit, Billy Wright, was just a little bit too much. It put me over the edge.
I mean, maybe it was just because the main man, Sharon Goh, was in attendance. I thought they had to pull out all the stops, but Tom, I'm sure he didn't appreciate that kind of blast of heat towards him either, did he?
No. It made it feel a little bit better that Fulham fans suffered the brunt of it, I suppose. It was right in front of them, so I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, I did not envy anybody who had to sit in the sun yesterday. It was absolutely terrible, the heat. Coming on to the football, we'll have a look at the starting lineup to begin with, as usual. And it was unchanged from the opening day of the season. As mentioned, Chairman Goh was in attendance in a box with Uncle George Mendes himself as well. And we'll come on to that a little bit later in the show and what that could mean for the club. But new boy Gonzalo Guedes on the bench with a return for Adama Traore and Semedo really being the headline of the starting lineup announcement. Jafoe, was that welcome, I assume? You know, just harking back to that Leeds bench, I think, it felt a lot better, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, that was the one thing that was leveraged against the whole Leeds game is that we couldn't change anything. We couldn't bring anyone off the bench who had, you know, minutes as a senior pro. And to bring in Adama, who I know he's not played a lot in pre-season, and Semedo, who you know, has just come back from injury. They've still got all this experience where they can come on and hopefully make a difference. And then Guedes, hopefully, you know, in the couple of weeks, he'll get up to speed and he'll start starting games. So to have three players like that, you know, £100 million worth of players to come off the bench is really welcomed going into the next few games, because we're going to need it.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you agreed with the zero changes to the starting lineup or not. Argument that the Leeds game was a bit of an unfortunate one, given the chances that we created, and perhaps we could have come away with the result there. So would you have gone with the same lineup yourself?
I was half expecting it. I think there was talk, wasn't there, about Hwang maybe not being fit, which was the only probably question mark. And for that, you know, you put the new guy in ahead of him. But I wasn't surprised, and it's probably what I'd have picked, all things considered. I mean, you know, Guedes only had a few days with the team, so it was pretty unlikely that he was going to come straight in unless he was absolutely needed from an injury point of view.
Yeah, I mean, when it came to the start of the game, we actually made quite a sharp start, in the sense that some early chances, which weren't quite taken. Story of the game, clearly, with the zero on the score sheet, that missed chances were the order of the day. But first couple of opportunities, we had Neto going through. I know he was ultimately flagged offside with a one-on-one with the keeper. Hwang going through early in that same channel from an angle, which the keeper made a save from as well. I mean, it was all looking quite exciting, I think, at that point in the game, wasn't it, Jafoe?
Yeah, it was a really good start. I thought what we did well was we like negated Fulham's midfield, because João Paulinho had played so well the week previous against Liverpool. To isolate the centre backs down the channel, it seemed to work really well for us, and it gave Hwang a lot of opportunity to stretch them. and to try and drag the centre backs apart, which worked really well. And probably we should have been probably 2-0 up after the first 15-20 minutes, which is really unheard of in the last couple of years, because we've always like notoriously been slow starters. So it's a positive. It's just a shame that we couldn't capitalise it and get at least one goal.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, I don't know whether you thought either of them could have done better with those situations in particular. We'll come on to the real glaring opportunity in a second. But yeah, it would have been nice to go one look at that stage.
Yeah, I think by and large, it was hard to be overly critical. I know they've hit it at the keeper in theory, but it was a tight angle. So, you know, they've done, I think, especially in Hwang's case, I know we've been really critical of him in the past, but I don't think he's done much wrong. He's showed really good turn of pace. They really, you know, sort of centre halves out of the game just from pace alone. His touch was on it, and you know, he's hit a half decent effort. So it was frustrating. I think Neto was onside as well. I think if that had gone to VAR, he looked onside to me. And again, I don't think he's done too much wrong. He's gone, tried to go high, hasn't he, and sort of come on the inside of the keeper, and he's just got a hand to it. So it was hard to be overly critical, I think. And that ball was on a lot, especially in the first half. And again, we still, for me, look almost dangerous on the counter, really, and that was shown in those two instances.
Yeah, I mean, the real kind of moment of the first half that kind of summed up the real issue we've got with scoring goals. I mean, I'll flash that few screenshots of the game, but big mistake from the Fulham defence with Tosin Adebayo and Rodak colliding. Ball falls free to Neto. Jafoe, in terms of that situation, what do you think is going through his head there? Because he seemed to dally a little bit.
If only I knew what was going through his head. At the moment that we saw it, you'd think that's a certain goal, but it's almost like that's the touch that he makes just pushes him into the middle of the box, and it just ruins any sort of opportunity that we have. But yeah, it's a shame, because he worked really, really hard, Neto, to get that, you know, try and capitalize on that opportunity. But yeah, I've not a clue how he's managed to mess that up.
Yeah, and I mean, not only that, but then the Pedence follow-up was not something to write home about either, was it?
You summed up right there, Jafo. I watched it back just before we came on, and it's his touch. It's just, it goes about 4 yards ahead of him. If he just, you know, just knocks it dead or just a tiny bit in front of him, he's just got to tap it in. But he goes, his first touch after the cock-up is really bad, and it just takes it, you know, it comes off at like 90 degrees to the goal at about 4 or 5 yards ahead of him. If it's, you know, not even a half decent touch, it's a goal. And then, yeah, Pedence, I don't know what on earth he was doing. It was horrible.
Yeah, we talked about Hwang going through on that chance, and I always find it funny that he gets a lot of stick for apparently not being able to hit a cow's ass with a banjo, as the old saying goes. But I've always thought he's quite good at when the chances come for him, he's actually quite good at taking them. I always think back to his goal against Arsenal away last season, where he nipped in front of Ramsdale, tight angle, and he put it away. That's exactly the kind of situation Neto was kind of in from that sort of angle, but just that real kind of clarity of thought and clarity of mind, where he just knew exactly what he should have been doing. And it really was just a case of a flick into the goal and we would have been ahead. And straight away, the game opens up from there, doesn't it? I don't know if you thought, I mean, we're going at halftime, obviously 0-0. Something seemed to change at halftime, I think, where we really kind of struggled to break them down at all. The only chance, I think, to speak of really, yeah, is Gibbs White coming in at the back post off an 8-0 cross. But do you think Fulham did something, you know, to switch things up a little bit? I know we weren't all over in the first half, but did they change anything for you, Jafo, or was it just...
Yeah, I think when Marcos took him in at half-time, I think he's just compacted him. And I think the gap between the centre-backs and the full-backs that we were exploiting, he's just took the full-backs in slighter. And then Polina and Harrison-Reed were just dropping a little bit deeper just to try and cover the defence. And they compacted us out. And because we've not that good at pushing the ball wide and getting crosses into the box at the moment, because we haven't got that like target man, that focal point to work off, that's how we got shut out. And I think if we have opened the game up and we get the first the goals in the first half, then it's one of them where you see the game out in the second. But because we've gone into 0-0, that gives them a chance to regroup, and that they've understood what their weaknesses are, and they've addressed them, and they've stopped that ball in between the channels, which is unfortunate for us. But you know, that's where we've got to adapt and overcome.
Yeah, I mean, in our attempts to kind of wrestle control of the game and start creating chances, there was a debut for the new boy, Gonçalo Guedes. My StreamYard skills are not quite what they should be, but. I mean, when he came on, Tom, was you happy with the fact that it was Hwang that came off for him, and what was you expecting from him at that stage?
The sub, yeah. I mean, I don't think Hwang was fit, hence why he came off. And you know, Hwang's not a world beater by any means, but I was half hoping it was Pedence that was going to come off, to be honest. But yeah, when he came on, yeah, I mean, you could see what he was about. You know, quick, good touch. He's got a bit of it. It seems like he had a bit of strength. I think there was a couple of times. I think it was Polinia he's battling with, and or the centre halves, and he really got stuck in, got his back in between. You could see what he's about basically. I mean, his first involvement was that sort of shank that he was. I think he's trying to go the outside of the foot, and it just went straight through to the keeper.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the best. That was a bit of a rough moment for me, that one. But other than that, I think generally, yeah. I mean, you can see what he's about, and Jaffo's summed up perfectly there. Fulham just shut the spaces off. They took their fullbacks deeper and inside, and we had the three behind, the forward had no space to work, and that sort of nullified what we had, because let's face it, we've got nothing else with no centre forward, unfortunately. So yeah, he was limited on what he could do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll flash this up for us. This is our average positions from the game from whoscored.com. And you can see that front four, Gibbs-White, Pedence, Hwang and Neto, all kind of strung across the front of the pitch there. But I don't know about you, I found that we were trying to be a little bit too intricate, probably. There's clearly a need to, without a proper central focal point in the side, but... I mean, they're all really attractive players to watch, but clearly there's something massive missing at the kind of sharp end of the pitch there, isn't there, Jaffo? I mean, what did you make of the actual link-up between them?
I think we just tried to do things in too many intricate ways, so there was too many little short touches, little passes, and they would say when we're getting shut out, the two-yard passes, the three-yard passes, the one-twos, they were just getting blocked off. And I think a lot of that meant that what was going on with the front, that Neves was dropping a bit too deep to try and pick the ball up, and they're trying to spray it out to the fullbacks. But Ike, Nuri and Johnny and then Samadu, who came on, couldn't really affect the game because the front three slash four were getting shut out. And so that everything was just trying to be a little bit too intricate, where we probably should have just tried to bully our way through, which is where Raul would have probably been a better option. But, as you know, we're struggling for forwards at the moment. Well, strikers, not so much forwards.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, did you sense this frustration from the crowd in terms of the way that we were approaching the game? I know for me, I still appreciated the intent. I think that we were trying to get on the front foot and dominate the game, and possession-wise and things we kind of did. And I still think we didn't really give away too much defensively, which is a pleasing sign. But in terms of, again, that attacking play, do you think the crowd were of an understanding kind of nature? Or
to an extent. I mean, there was a really good, you know, Bruno's Army sort of chant. I think coming about, I don't know, 55, 60 minutes, they really sort of, I thought they did a pretty good job, actually, of trying to, you know, G him up a little bit. I know it didn't last sort of, you know, the rest of the game. I mean, the ref obviously helped, as it always does. You know, if the ref's having a stinker, then it's a good way to get the crowd involved and raise the atmosphere a little bit. So I think that naturally helped. But in regard to the sort of style, yeah, I think by and large, I think there wasn't too many, because, you know, I often get complaints around me about passing it backwards and all this sort of stuff, which winds me up. But I didn't have that much of that. Whether it's just a new season, there's new season ticket holders and less people to annoy me, I don't know, as of yet. possibly. But yeah, I think so, by and large. One thing I picked up on, if you noticed it, there seemed to be a real reluctance for, especially Ait Nouri, just to get down the wing. The amount of times he checked back and went back inside, I didn't get that. You know, when Ait Nouri's at his best, he's got his head down, yeah, and he's dribbling down that channel, but there'd be space in front of him, and he just wouldn't bother. Whether that's a tactical thing, they didn't want to get caught on the counter, possibly, you know, with just the two centre-halves back there, maybe. But I think that lost us a bit as well, to be fair.
Possibly. I mean, it was picked up last week. I think Dan said last week that there seems to be a lack of relationship between Neto and Ait Nouri, and that they're struggling together to try and build up who stops and who goes and how they interact on the wing. And that's kind of holding him back. And I think we could see that a little bit yesterday, because a lot of the time Neto was pulling it out wide and he was staying too wide and he was like occupying the space that Ait Nouri would go into. Whereas, you know, he's not a player who goes underneath. He doesn't underlap with the ball very often. So he's always looking to go outside, but that's where, say, Pedro's standing. So I think that's something that they've got to work on the training pitch.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I think my issue with that is I think Neto isn't quite good enough at the moment, coming off the right flank or playing centrally. And he's really at his best when he's going out down the outside of his fullback onto his left foot. He's clearly capable of using his right foot now. He seems to be quite comfortable doing that a lot more these days. But he's still, his raw kind of fundamental part of his game is, you know, going down the outside of his man and beating up the pace. And like you say, Ait Nouri wants to do that. And the one time we did see it happen was when he crossed that ball for Gibbs White to come in at the back post and create a chance with it. So, yeah, maybe there's a bit of a kind of a nuance there that we could work on to really, you know, develop attacks a bit better. But again, I'm not sure Neto's really got that part of his game ready yet. The big problem being, I think, and we'll kind of come on to kind of who played well and who played badly, but Pedence was kind of so off it, that threat through the middle of the pitch just wasn't there either to kind of link up with. And I think we really missed him having a good game. But obviously the major moment of the second half came, you know, kind of Sod's Law, being a Wolves fan, Ryan Ait Nouri decided to dive in on Bobby Deckard over Reed in the second half and give away a penalty just as our frustrations were starting to show. And give Fulham a way out of Molineux with 3 points. But Jose Sarr turning up with a big save. I mean, it wasn't the best of penalties from Alexander Mitrovic, who'd really been marshalled brilliantly all day by Nathan Collins and Max Kilman. But, I mean, up until this point, Sarr hasn't saved a penalty for us. And I know there's always a first time for everything, but I don't know, Tom, did you feel confident that something was going to happen positive for us there?
No, I'll be honest. I thought it was going in. No, but you're right. Mitrovic had a terrible game. Like, everyone was so shit scared before the game, and he was dire. Collins was on him constantly. Yeah, anywhere near the ball, he'd go. Yeah, he'd rough him up a little bit, and it was nice to see because we've seen him do it to us plenty of times. But I did think he was going to score, I must admit. But yeah, it was nice to see Sarr pull one off. Again, it's a bit concerning with Ait Nouri because that's arguably 3 cock-ups in 2 games now. And that is one thing we're going to get with playing, you know, the system of playing with a 4. He's not got a centre-half closer to him to back him up and get him out of dodgy situations such as that. So we all know that he's awesome going forward by and large. But yeah, he did look so much better defensively last season, and it's very early days, and he's a cracking player. I'm not writing him off at all, but he's got to be a little bit careful because Semedo walks back in that team for me. So then it's a toss up between him and Johnny at left back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is all of our fullbacks are going to suffer from just having to cover more ground this season. You know, I think there are a lot of instances where the ball got into Nathan Scabano's feet quite easily. He managed to stand Johnny up a little bit, and he seemed to struggle with Cabana cutting onto his right foot and actually stopping him getting away from him as well. So, but nature of a back four is that extra width is going to be there. If someone is going to go and hang out on the touchline, they will receive the ball. They're likely to get more crosses into the box and things like that. So I think there's a degree of us fans having to kind of accept that that's going to be the case, but understand that, you know, like they did at the weekend. Collins and Kilman are there to stand up and kind of be counted when the ball does come into the box as well. And kind of clearly part of that conversation, you know, frustrations boiled over a little bit towards the end for Alexander Mitrovic, perhaps. Poor game, missed penalty, charging back to help out his defence, but a real dirty hack at Morgan Gibbs-White while we were countering. And seemingly inexplicably, the referee decided it was two yellows, one each for Gibbs-White and Mitrovic, despite a bit of a butting match going on there. I mean, Jafar, I don't know how Mitrovic has managed to get away without being sent off, is it?
It's shocking. I'm surprised that both of them stayed on the pitch. I just think the pair of them are just acting like a couple of school kids, to be honest. I know he's hacked at him, but Gibbs-White's got to keep his head there. He's got to try and stay calm. And it's not good. We've seen a little bit of this in pre-season as well. Now, I don't mind him showing fight, but there just seems to be a little bit of a turn towards this aggressive nature. And so we've had a couple of the pre-season friendlies where there was a lot of yellow cards and a lot of aggressive tackles and nature and us standing up to the other teams. And with Gibbs-White and Mitrovic, I say both of them should have been sent off yesterday, because you don't want to see that on the football pitch. You don't want to see people acting in such an aggressive manner towards each other. It's not good. It's not the advert that we should be putting out for the game. But I don't know how you see it.
I just thought, you know, there's a yellow for the tackle immediately, you know, because it was exactly what, you know, in essence, what Pedence did in the first half to stop a counter-attack and get booked for. So straight away, that's and then for the afters, at least a yellow for Mitrovic. Perhaps maybe you're suggesting there that, you know, they should have both received a red. But you're talking like Martinelli did for Arsenal last season, two yellows in quick succession. The two offences were there right in front of us. I mean, we were deep into injury time at that point. Fulham had done a pretty good job of making sure the ball wasn't in play for the last 20 minutes. I think, you know, by my count, there's probably about 10 minutes of football in the last 20, you know, at the very most. From the moment the penalty was given until the end of the game, it was just a ridiculous amount of stop-start. And I mean, Tom, I know it's frustrating, and I know, well, Leeds fans certainly decided we were guilty of it last week again. I'm not sure why, because we were never really in a position to go out and really time waste. But clearly, referees are struggling to keep a lid on this kind of behaviour.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ref didn't help himself. He lost control, didn't he? But yeah, see, I'm a fan of the stop clock idea. I don't think some people are, but it just cuts everything out. You play 60 minutes, if you like. You play 60 minutes and you just stop the clock. When the ball, there's none of the time wasting. There's no taking time on a throw, goal kick, rolling around, doesn't matter. I think that'd be just so much better. And it's not because of adverts and everything like that, because you wouldn't stop for adverts. You know, the ball's only in play for, is it about 60% of the time or something like that on average anyway. So
yeah, I think average you're talking 55 to 60 minutes anyway.
Yeah, exactly. More if it's less if it's Burnley teams like that. And but it cuts it all out, doesn't it? It just doesn't happen anymore.
Anyway, it's the only way to control what went on yesterday, because I think there was two or three separate occasions where that goalkeeper held onto the ball for over 10 seconds and the referee's done nothing about it. Yeah. He just glared at him. He's not even tapped his watch. He's not even had a word. It's just something, just a little, it's an annoyance more than anything.
I think that and keeper holding on to the ball and foul throws are two rules within the game that have basically been erased out at some point without us being told, because they're two things that just don't get picked up on at all. I mean, we've come out of it seemingly, should have won, could have lost, got a point. In terms of your real standout performers on the day, we've just mentioned Collins and Kilman. For me, Kilman especially, I thought was just absolute Rolls Royce levels. He was unbelievable. Jafar, do you think that partnership has a lot of promise in it?
I think it's the modern day partnership. I mean, they're both two centre backs who are very, very good on the ball. They can carry the ball out. We've seen that with Kilman and Collins. They carried the ball 20, 30 yards on a couple of occasions, and they can pass the ball out. It's exactly what we need to take the football club forward and to play progressive and attacking football that we want to see down at Molineux, because it has to come from the back. and these two young guys, you know, Irish and English guy, you know, fantastic. It's great because the future looks bright with these two guys. You know, whether they're here like 4 or 5 years into the future or wherever, that their careers are going to be standout because they are excellent performers and they are the perfect example of modern centre backs.
Tom, does that get to bed?
Yeah, I was going
to
say
about whether we should.
Well, this is it. We did like we didn't look, you know, any more open than we would have done, you know, playing the five. I know, granted, it's Fulham and it's early days, but yeah, I think there's really, really promising signs there. There was one in the first half where Collins just went straight. He didn't go straight through someone, but he won the ball, you know, really high up the pitch, got us on the front foot straight away. They're not afraid to play a higher line. I mean, I don't think they're, you know, neither of them particularly quick, but they weren't worried to, you know, to push the line up at all. And yeah, I think Collins had one dodgy moment. I think when he lost the ball, I think he was just trying to be a little bit clever. I think there's occasions where they're overplaying, but I think that'll sort of be ironed out with time, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Mitrovic not being on the score sheet kind of puts a Kodija back to bed. Anyway, we all know he probably would have eaten him alive if he played in that fixture. I am curious to see what we decide to do against Tottenham, though, just because they play with wing-backs and, you know, perhaps there is scope for us to go back to a back three next week, especially given they're such a good side and how we kind of play. In terms of further forwards, what do we make of particular, I'd say, Neto and Pedence, because I just thought they weren't at the races. Jafar, come to you first.
I think Neto played particularly too bad. He had the glaring opportunity and he messed a couple of things up. But Pedence, I think he slowed the game down too much, especially in the second half. He was trying too much to force something and try and make that killer pass, whereas he could have just been inventive and just gone for it and tried to attack the players. There was too many times where he's stopping with the ball at his feet at the edge of the box and just trying to wait for something to happen. Whereas, say, what he should have been using his ability to try and attack the defenders, but I don't know. I don't know why he wasn't taken off. I think he should have been, like you said, Tom, I think Pedence was probably the one who should have been taken off for Geddes. But if Hwang's not fit, then so be it. You know, it's a circumstance thing again. And that's that lack of strength in depth that, you know, we're still trying to address.
I mean, we obviously saw Adama Traore back in Wolves' colours as well. I mean, suffered partly from just the ball not being in play for pretty much the entire time he was on the pitch. But do you think he's still got a role to play at the club? But obviously, he's got the ability to be an impact sub there, Tom. But should we be looking to him to make an impact?
I don't think he's one to be relied on, to be honest. He's like, I think it was Jaffo touched on this in the preview to Fulham. Like, yeah, okay, offers something different. You know, going back to Nuno's phrase, he's really unique, but didn't see much from him yesterday, to be honest. I couldn't decide if it was just like he didn't have the opportunity and he had the ball a couple of times. I mean, there's one, I don't know how many times he had the ball at his feet, probably twice, I think. But I know the one time I just knew he was going to get tackled. He was holding on to it. He wanted to roll his man, he couldn't, and then he didn't know what to do. He got tackled and then Fulham countered. So I don't know if he's got that much of a role to play. I think the three behind, hopefully Raul, I mean, or someone new. I was going to say that they're really fluid. They could play across. You know, they were doing it all throughout the game. They were switching positions and doing whatever. Troy's got one way of playing in. That's it. You know, he plays wide right, and it is a wide right. You can't play him inverted. It just doesn't work. That's not doesn't play to his strengths, and he's not a goal threat. So maybe he's okay to have as an impact sub, but I wouldn't be relying on him for a course of a season.
Yeah, I guess if you've got him in that wide right role without a target in the middle to hit for crosses and stuff like that, then you're probably not going to get the best out of him either. But the central midfield is obviously a big debate at the moment for the club in terms of bringing someone in. We had Neves and Ndonga in there yesterday. Jafar, what did you make of their performances? And kind of as a secondary question, João Palhinha being on the opposite side was clearly someone who the club were potentially looking on bringing in this summer. Do you think he would have added anything that we were missing, or are we quite comfortable with him not being in a Wolves shirt?
I'd start with our two guys. I thought Ndonga really, really played well yesterday. I think he did exactly what he was asked to do. His energy level's fantastic. He was popping up at all different points, winning the ball back, starting play. Transitions were really good from him. And I thought Neves probably played a little bit too deep, but I mean, that's nitpicking with him because he's so exceptional at getting the ball and spraying it. But yeah, I think he could have benefited from being 10 yards further up the pitch. With Palhinha, I think Palhinha, as we've seen yesterday, I think as we've seen last week when they played Liverpool, his bite and grit and, you know, the destructive part of his game is something that we've missed. And Neves does it quite well and quite efficiently without being seen. But it's something that I think we need as a club to enable people like Moutinho, Neves to push forward and try and get that little bit more creative freedom to stop essentially what was happening yesterday with Neves dropping a little bit too deep. Because if you have somebody like that, they can pick the ball up and start the transitions. And, you know, and that's, he's more suited to that role. He can drop in. He's a little bit stronger. He's a bit bigger build. You know, you stop a lot of the play that comes through the centre then when you have somebody like that. And I think, yeah, he would have been a great asset to the club. And I think I think it's a mistake that they let him go to Fulham without trying to buy him. But hopefully they've got a plan. Hopefully they can bring somebody in. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that one.
Tom, what do you reckon?
You can see what Palhinha is about. Yeah, definitely. I'm adamant that if Neves had been sold week one of the window, Palhinha would have been in the following week. I'm adamant. I think it's because they still had Neves and they earmarked him for the sort of deeper role that they didn't feel they needed Palhinha. I mean, the argument for that was you could have played Palhinha in that role and then push Neves further up. But Palhinha plays in one position and one position only, and that's like, you know, defensive mid, isn't it? So if you're going to play Neves in that role, then you can't play him unless you're going to play two defensive midfielders there, which I don't think Bruno wants to do, and I don't think that's what he did at Benfica. I think he just played the one. So I think, yeah, he looked a player, and I was disappointed that we didn't get him, to be honest. But I think it's more due to the fact we kept hold of Neves while we didn't sign him.
Yeah, I don't really buy the whole pushing Neves further forward positionally kind of thing, just because I think his best attribute is receiving the ball and being the first point of attack in terms of finding a longer pass and threading a pass into the forwards. I think if you have him too high up the pitch, he's playing with his back to goal probably too much. And yeah, then you're asking him to do stuff that he's probably not built to do. Yeah, he hasn't got that kind of dexterity with his feet that someone like a Pedence has when he receives the ball in tight areas and things. And ultimately, I think with Palhinha, he would have added something in terms of the depth of the squad, yes. But I don't think he was going to raise kind of the ceiling level of the squad. I think Ndonka is perfectly fine. You're really talking between the two of them, I think. And for me, like I say, I mean, Ndonka seems to have actually benefited from the change of shape a little bit, just because it seems there's more players ahead of him that have attacking responsibility and people aren't frustrated by his lack of creativity. It's absolutely 100% is the remit that he's asked not to do anything, I think, overly, technical or creative when he gets onto the ball, because he just seems to lay it off quite easily. But I still think he did really well in the breakdowns and picking up possession and stuff like that in the middle of the pitch. But were there any other notable performances for you that you want to pick out, good or bad?
That's about it. Johnny was disappointing. Yeah. I thought, it's a shame because he had a good end to last season. But he touched on it earlier, Cabano. And Cabano's not a world beater, is he? He looked like he was on Saturday, unfortunately. And he was sloppy in possession as well, which is really, really strange to see. So I think so when Semedo came on, I know he was only on for 10, 15 minutes, but you could tell he was the best fullback, the best fullback we've got going, just from what he did when he came on. He actually ran the channel on the left-hand side, if I remember rightly, and put quite a nice low ball in, which again, centre forward might have put away. Johnny's a bit disappointing. So I think Semedo's back in at right back, and then it's just toss up between the other two for the left back slot.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Semedo looks as sharp as he did, given he's not had any pre-season really. Johnny, I don't understand it really, because being a natural right footer, he seems a lot less comfortable on the right hand side. Doesn't seem to be able to shift his feet quite as well as he does on the left. But again, he could also be suffering just because he's not able to get out to his man as quickly as he used to either. But I think defensively, we're looking quite... I mean, bar Mitrovic, I didn't feel like we should have worried too much about Fulham in an attacking sense. But at the same time, they did their job. They did their job, to be honest. If you had to pick a man of the match, Jafar, who are you going with?
Nathan Collins for me. I thought he was brilliant.
Right, Tom?
Yeah, I'd probably just edge towards Kilman, but it'd be either Kilman or Collins, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd Kilman, really. The bloke never looks flustered in any situation whatsoever. I just absolutely love him. You can see he's been asked to step up from a leadership perspective as well, I think, and you're noticing different things about his game now. So, long may that continue. We'll leave Fulham there, though. Not one that's going to live long in the memory, I think, but hopefully we'll pick up in our next home game at Newcastle after Tottenham next week. We're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to dabble a little bit into the conversation about our hierarchy at the moment and have Twitter Corner. So we'll catch you after this.
Hi all. Gully from Wolves Fancast here, and just like all of you long-suffering Wolves fans, I know exactly what it feels like to be lacking a creative spark here, some outside-of-the-box thinking there, but our sponsors Pixel Yeti Media are here to help. They're a creative agency that cover all of your web design, branding and marketing needs, with our very own WolvesFancast.com, a fine example of their work, so much so that I hear Jeff Shee is looking to do a deal this summer. For now, it's back to the team to ask just where the Diogo Jota money is gone. We may have just had our answer.
Welcome back, everybody. Start of the show pre-match, which was a slight surprise to us, was our very own chairman, well, a Fosun anyway, Guo Guangchang being in attendance, and he brought a little friend with him, seemingly, in George Mendes. But there's other kind of conversations going on around the fact that they were both seen together at Molineux. Seemingly, there's some investment potentially planned for the club as well. Talk of even the fact that, sell to buy isn't a thing for now. Maybe we can actually go and splurge a little bit of cash. And I mean, Tom, I don't know if you think this is maybe a bit of a riposte to the commentary around the club this summer, saying folks are not interested anymore, or if they're not bothered anymore, should they sell up, etc., etc. What did you make of it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, but quite possibly. I think with Mendes, obviously he was there when Guedes signed on the Tuesday, I think, because he was in the videos, wasn't he, on his first day. So he's probably hung around. It's nice, it's good to see. I mean, the best times, in the first year have been, when he's been around and seemingly interested. And you do see, especially from our illustrious neighbours, where the owner just clearly doesn't give a shit and he's never there. So from that point of view, it was nice to see. And I suppose in theory that they've spent 50 million, haven't they, already this year, not recouped anything. I don't know, this sell-to-buy thing, sell-to-buy I don't think necessarily means, being sort of self-sustainable, I don't think it's the same as sell-to-buy. I think you can be self-sufficient by still, having your incomings more than your outgoings, because just purely the amount of money you get from being the Premier League and all the riches and revenue that comes from it. So, they've had a net outlay of 50 mil so far, not recruits any. I mean, arguably you've had something for Cody, but I think the bulk of that will be coming next season. Fingers crossed there's something in the offing.
Yeah, Do you know what I mean? If investment isn't on the horizon, what would your first port of call be? We've probably had this conversation a number of times already this summer, but where are you going with that those transfer funds right now?
It's a tough one. It is tough to try and look at who we could actually bring in and potentially not a lot of money. But for me, I mean, we said it in the preview. I think if the offer for Gibbs White is 25 million plus add-ons, I think, and they're easy add-ons, and you start talking 30, 35 million, pretty much guaranteed because the add-ons, then that's where we should be looking to move him on, I think. I think for that sort of money, for someone who's only had one season in the Championship where he's been a consistent performer, and I think the two games this season so far, he hasn't really done a lot. I think we could potentially make a lot of money there, and that could that sort of cash injection could help us get one or two players in.
Sorry, Jafar, we've...
literally.
Disagreement in the comments already. Yeah. I guess there's more scope for it now that we've got Geddes in, that he could... Because my personal feeling was that, despite the offer, and clearly it's an extortionate offer, we just had no depth whatsoever to fall back on for us to actually let him go, especially when it came out that it was kind of day before the opening day of the season. Now, subsequently, Nottingham Forest have gone another trolley dash in the last 24 hours, haven't they? You know, Emmanuel Dennis, Kiyate and Remo Freuler have all shit as the 1-0 at home against West Ham as well just today. Will they even come back in for him? And do you think off the back of the first couple of games, they might have been put off, or do you think we should be looking to persist with him? Tom, I don't know if you've got any opinions on that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think especially if he's not going to sign a new contract, you've got to consider it. But it's whether we've got faith in them investing the funds wisely or at all. I think in that area now we're set. If he was to go, again, it depends. It really depends who you get. You know, for me, if we get a decent centre forward option and another midfielder, I think you've got to say it's been a pretty good window, to be honest. But we haven't utilised our special loan system yet, have we, that we love. So I'm hoping that they've got a couple of aces up the sleeve with that. But yeah, I mean, if it's a case of literally, again, I know we're always talking about Nunes. I think I've made this point before. If the figures are lining up, so if Gibbs White goes and you can get Nunes in, it's a no brainer for me. But again, it depends. If it's the money's just going to be sat in the bank, you're better off keeping Gibbs White and seeing what happens come January and looking at it again at that point.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I think. There's no smoke without fire for me. And like I said, the presence of Goh in attendance at the game, perhaps Mendes is involved somewhere along the line beyond the Geddes deal. There's also news reported that we've offered Neves a new contract to make him one of the highest paid players at the club. If he wasn't that already, I think this would definitely make him a kind of a top of the pile in that sense. So who knows, maybe there's a reinvigoration around Wolves from the hierarchy, and we'll watch his space, I guess. Brings us to Twitter Corner, and we'll wrap it up after that. But starting with the regular contributor, Todd DeWitt. Tinfoil hat time. Was Cody loaned out and not sold because the board doesn't fully trust Large? If he and his back four doesn't work out, the board can sack Large and bring back Cody to see how he works in the new manager system. That's feels a bit of a conspiracy theory, to be honest. Yeah, but Jafar, what do you reckon?
I'll throw more tinfoil onto the hat if you want. So I listen to what people say when I'm around, and one of the things that I heard got said was that Lars has sold his house and he's not moving his family over. So add that onto what you will, but I'm taking all of that with a massive grain of salt. But yeah, I'll add more tinfoil on.
I mean,
it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a given that, you know, Bruno Large is going to stay out of the season, is it? You know, obviously things are going to be performance related in terms of his future at the club. But do you think Cody's position within that is a factor, Tom? Do you see him potentially actually coming back to Wolves and playing a role?
No, I can't see it. I think he's gone now. It's quite ironic, wasn't it, that he got subbed for Everton when they decided to go to a back four. So even though I think he's not able to play in a back four, so that made me chuckle. I mean, I love the bloke. I do love the bloke still, but that did make me laugh.
You can't get away from it.
But I think it's more for me. I don't think Lampard's going to last a season at Everton. So what if, and this is why maybe the deal won't go through, you know, that manager doesn't want to play five at the back and therefore, you know, Cody's not going to be playing in a four. So I think that's more likely. I think I've got a bit of respect for Lars because he's gone all in on four at the back and you know, there's enough fans screaming for it last season. So, fair play to him in a way. The circumstance of the deal, whether, you know, the loan isn't the best. Obviously, we would have all wanted it to be a permanent thing done and dusted and got money in the bank for it. But, he's gone all in and fair play to him for that.
Well, 0 points out of six for Everton so far this season. So that's it's all going well. At Shape the Place, is there a danger that results end of last season combined with the start of this one make players like Neves and Bungie's White more actively seek a move? I mean, I don't think there's any suggestion that Neves wasn't kind of on the lookout for something anyway. I think he understands that he's come to a point in his career where, you know, he could do with getting into the upper echelons of the league, but maybe he has been priced out. Javale, what do you reckon to that question?
It's a tough one because I think a lot of the back end of last season was just, because we knew we couldn't get anything, the whole steam just went out of it. And I hate when it happens, but the players were almost on the beach for the last five games. We've come in this season, the first two results, I know they've not been ideal. We got off the mark yesterday with a point, but you can see parallels to the start of last season, we're trying something new and it's not going to change overnight. We've started really well in the friendlies, fantastic. We played well, we got some good results, scored a lot of goals, especially in the Besiktas game, and you can see where it was really working. But to actually translate that into a league game and to actually start to get points in the Premier League, changing the whole philosophy and evolving what we're doing as a football club is difficult. And I don't think we'll start to see the riches of it until four or five games into the season. So I think once we say the normal cliche, 10 games into the season, we'll see where we are. And I think it's our second five games, 6 to 10 in the season, where we'll really see what it's about. And I think we'll start to see the development and the riches of what we've got as a football club moving forward and playing more progressive football. And we'll see what it's all about then. I think until then, I think there's a slight period of adaptation. Even though they've been doing it for a pre-season, I think that'll translate onto the pitch through the league.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I think old habits die hard. You could sit. There's so many things that are still ingrained in us, and they just don't want to put the ball in the box. That's clear. They want to put any sort of height on a cross. It has to be on the floor or not at all, and that's fair enough because we've got no one in there at the moment. And last season, there'd be Jimenez, if that, and he didn't want to head the ball. So that's just sort of ingrained in them. I still think we look much better on the counter-attack. And when teams sit in, we really do struggle. And it's going to be some sort of, they're going to have to work a way around that for sure. And you see with other teams as well. I mean, we'll have a little laugh at Man United's expense, but they've had a new manager, new way of playing, new coaching staff, and they're exactly the same team. Yeah. There's the personnel factor as well. Fortunately, a lot of these forward players, they don't score goals. So, is that going to change just by, a few little tactical tweaks here and there? And I also want to point, you can't level the last two games at Bruno at all, because it's clear as day that we need a striker. And you can't account for the chances that we've missed. You can get the players in the positions, but it's up to them to stick the ball in the net, and you can't legislate for the cock-ups at Leeds either, really. So as much as Lars does have his faults, you can't level the last two two games at him, I think, you know, there's a lot on the players and the personnel. And, you know, unless they want to invest in a decent striker, I think, you know, it's going to unfortunately be running over this season as well as it was last season.
Yeah, I mean, talking to strikers, our next question, a slight change of tack in terms of the current team, but at B Townley, is Fabio wasting his time in Belgium? Many were worried the league wouldn't be a challenge for him, and it looks like that's the case. Back on the score sheet again today, 4 out of 5, I think it is at this stage. Jaffo, what do you make of that? I think personally that it couldn't be a better move for him, really, at this point in his career. And just to see him scoring goals, I'm so pleased for him.
I'm on the same page as you. I think it's fantastic. I think it's exactly what he needs to be out there, playing it week in, week out. I know it's going to be a lot easier for him than the Premier League, because that's the stage of the Belgian League. But scoring goals at the age of 20 is fantastic. That's exactly what he needs to really push his confidence and push him through. To Levy, that we kind of need him here, I think probably isn't the right way to look at it, because he's not the type of footballer we probably needed yesterday. I think if people have been watching what he's been doing in Anderlecht, a lot of his runs and his goals have come running off the shoulder of defenders. I think what we need as a football club yesterday, and what we've seen, is we need somebody to link up play, someone to drop deep to get the ball, to move it and transition it. And I don't think he's a focal point sort of striker yet. I think his strengths are running behind, breaking the lines as a striker. And I think that there is a massive difference between him and Raul. I think to compare the two of them is difficult, because that they play the game so differently. The only thing you could say is the one goal that he has scored for Anderlecht was very similar to one that Raul scored against Man United a couple of years ago. But I think if they're going to bring someone in, it's got to be someone who works as a focal point. I think Batshuayi is quite good at that, who has been linked. I think he plays well with his back to goal and links up the player really well. But it's something that they've got to look at, and they've got to look for a player who can, like I said, play with his back to goal and link up the play. And that's something that Fabio, because of his age and I think of his lack of strength and development at this point, he can't really do. It's something he's got to work on, and I think that's what he'll do while he's in Belgium. And I think we'll see more and more of that.
Yeah, Tom, have you been following Fabio closely, like I assume every Wolves fan on the planet is?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, the boy can't win, can he? I mean, what's the question? It's like they're saying it's too easy for him now. I mean, what is he? Do you know what I mean? If he's not scoring, oh, he's shit. He can't score any goals. And if he's scoring goals, it's too easy. The league's too easy. I mean, what's he supposed to do? I think I completely agree. I think it's a great move for him. And to criticise him for scoring goals is ludicrous. I think I completely agree what you said, Jaffo, but I'd have liked to have seen how he got on in that, especially against Fulham, because he's still a bit of a fox in the box for me. I mean, he's had a couple of goals where he's sort of got a lot of one-on-one with the keeper, but his movement is incredible. I think we're all in agreement. His movement as a striker is brilliant. It's so good, and that's one of those things that, you know, it's really hard to teach. So, yeah, let's just hope we reap the rewards of that next season. But no, I'm chuffed for him. And he got an assist as well today, I think. I think he had a goal and an assist, I think.
What I liked about his goal today was the fact that he was a header. I don't think I've ever seen him connect cleanly with a header, actually. But it was a really well-guided goal. Another string to his bow. I mean, we've had a question here from Paul in the comments. Do you think we'll bring him back in January if we're struggling? I mean, We've done this before with Gibbs White, haven't we? Where he was on a real good roll. I know he was injured kind of at the time that we recalled him from Swansea, but if we'd have left him out, you know, at Swansea for the second half of that season, you know, who knows where he could have been? That, you know, at the start of that final that's the season with Bruno, potentially. You know, he could have been, you know, absolutely flying like he seems to. I mean, I know he's not necessarily hit the ground running at this point, but it's a dangerous move taking a player away from a good spell of form and a good spell of games, isn't it?
It's going to be. It's one of them. It's like we have to be in a disastrous situation for him to come back. Like, literally, we're going to have no forwards left. So even Chem Campbell will have to be injured, I think, to bring him back, because there's no point in messing up what is essentially the season to make Fabio Silva. We don't need to bring him back. Just he needs to stay there.
At the rate he's going, you're talking by the time the World Cup comes around and then it's January, he scored probably 10 to 15 goals. He's going to win the Golden Boot at the World Cup, obviously. And then he's going to come back and take the Premier League by storm. So if he comes back and plays 90 metres every week, then there's obviously an... If we're not going to do that, please, please just leave the boy alone. Let him go and bag hatfuls of goals in the Belgian League. Who gives a shit what standard it is? And, you know, then he will be buzzing by the start of the season. And then you know you've got a player on your hands where you can kind of say to Raul, plus whichever striker you might bring in this season, look, guys, I ain't being funny, but until you can reach the levels that this bloke has shown over the last 12 months, then you're not going to be in the side. And I just think he's so in tune with, like, Pedence and you know, some of the other forwards in the... I still think Forest away. I know Forest were terrible in the Carabao Cup last season. I think we had Fabio, Pedence and Gibbs White started that game up front. Even though it took us an hour to score a goal, the three of them, in terms of their link-up play and everything, they were unbelievable. You know, and you know, it was a really exciting time to be a Wolves fan watching that game. But, yeah, just leave the boy alone for me. I think he's best left in Anderlecht, where he can absolutely smash up the Jupiler Pro League, as it's called. We'll have one final question from our very own Richard Hobbs. What needs to happen in the next 2 weeks for this to be classed as a good transfer window? For me, a centre midfielder who can carry the ball and a striker, and I think we're on to a winner. Jaffo, come to you first.
Yeah, bang on. I agree with you 100% on that. I think the centre mid, I think we touched on it in the preview, you touched on it then again. That's an area we have to focus on. We just don't have the numbers there. We just don't have the volume. We can see in every other area the skin fade comment for Fabio Silva. I love that. But so in every other area of the pitch, you've got two players for every position. At the moment, I don't think we've got two for each of the midfielders, because Conor Ronan, then they've not bought him off the bench yet. Luke Kundall still needs development time. You need somebody in there who's going to challenge the status quo, because once again, Moutinho's going to be here for another 12 months. And, you know, how many games are he going to play? You know, he's already missed the first two with injury. It might be one of them seasons where he only manages to play a quarter of the games or a third of the games. So there's no depth. And you say your two senior players are Dendonka and Neves. That's a hell of an ask to ask them two to go a whole season without one getting suspended and two getting injured. So, yeah, central midfielder. And, yeah, as we've touched on, a striker's crucial for us. It really is. I think that's going to make or break whether we finish top half or whether we finish in the top of the top, well, the between 11th and 15th. I think that's really going to make or break where we finish.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's absolutely critical. Neves is guaranteed to be suspended for at least two or three games of seasons. He loves a booking. But there was games in pre-season where he played the three of them. He played Neves, Moutinho and Donk. And then, you know, literally got to stick with those for the whole game because you've got no other option. And I don't think... We'll see what happens at Spurs, but I don't think he's going to play the so-called bigger sides with a front four. I think he needs an extra body. If he's not going to play it across the back, which I don't... I'm edging towards maybe he's not going to, then he'll need to play another body in midfield. And so it's just a necessity. It's absolute necessity to get one in. I completely agree. Kundal's not ready for me. He needs some football a bit further down. And
if we do go back to Spurs away last season, Kundal started that one. We came out with a 2-0 win. It's
five at the back, five at the back though. Gully won it.
Yeah, so. I mean, we saw in pre-season they did do the three across midfield with the three forwards. Obviously, that was Moutinho involved with Neves and Dendonka. Argument that Moutinho might be available for Spurs. I think the suggestion is that he might be back in squad. I doubt he'll be starting that game, though. But there was another comment thrown up here about need for a fullback. Yeah, we're not totally, you know, blessed in that area at the moment. Obviously, Hugo Bueno is ostensibly the backup left back at this stage. Nelson Semedo coming back into it is a big plus, clearly. And we know Ryan Aitnouri can struggle with, you know, a flurry of games and the intensity of them in the past anyway. So maybe there's a need to bring someone in there.
I agree. Yeah, I've said that as well. They've all three of them have got question marks on their fitness, haven't they? So, you know, Johnny goes down with another knee injury, then you've got to play two fullbacks all, you know, the same two fullbacks all season, which isn't going to happen. So, yeah, I agree. I know he's tried Totti at left back, hasn't he? Mascara at right back, but just the games I've watched, it hasn't worked. Pulis style of.
It makes you wonder why Ryan Giles was sent out on loan. I know he's doing really well again, and I think he's developing it the more and more he plays. But should he have been the one who was kept instead of Hugo Bueno? For me, probably, and send Bueno out on loan. Because from what he was doing last season at Cardiff and what he was doing at Middlesbrough, you can really see that guy's developing. He's going to. You know, he's looking like he can sort of be in a Premier League team, although bottom half Premier League team. But he's got the attributes, he's got the ability to be in around that squad. Yeah. So I thought it was a strange one to send him out and then keep Bueno.
Sorry to kill you, Jafar, but own goal for Ryan Giles today.
It was a tasty one. Was it?
I haven't seen it. So unfortunately, I'm.
I don't know if he's a left back though. I think a wing back, you can see it, him having a role, but a proper left back. I do wonder if he's got that in his game. But yeah, the whole fudging a centre half in there really doesn't sit well with me at all. So I'm hoping that he's not seeing Mascara and Gomez as the backup fullback.
Yeah, and Collins can play right back apparently.
Okay,
not for me.
He's brought up at Stoke. That's what they do there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. We'll call it a day there, guys. We managed to drag out an hour of content from an 0-0 draw. So well done to Tom and Jafar for helping us do that. But obviously, we'll be back with a preview show in the week. I'll be doing the first GTA this season as well, looking at the Fulham draw. A couple of things pulled out from that one. With the data and analytics available to me as well. So look out for that in the next few days. But for myself, Gully, Jaffo, Tom, the 90 Min Network, Pixel Yeti Media, etc., etc., it's good night and on to Spurs away.